From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. The White House has welcomed Britain's decision to join airstrikes against Islamic State militants in Iraq. UK parliamentarians voted overwhelmingly on Friday to approve airstrikes after British Prime Minister David Cameron insisted the country was morally bound to act. The decision is seen as significant because British lawmakers voted against military intervention in Syria last year over the use of chemical weapons. Earlier in the day, Belgium and Denmark also pledged their aid in the fight against ISIS, promising to deploy fighter jets. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the British vote shows the coalition effort against ISIS is broadening.
The United States and the United Kingdom have a special relationship, and we are pleased to see the strong support from members of Parliament for members of the British military working alongside U.S. servicemen and women in pursuit of this goal that benefits countries all around the globe.
Three firefighters who helped with the 9/11 rescue efforts in New York have died of cancer on the same day. They are among hundreds of people who have died since the terrorist attacks of illnesses linked to toxic dust from the wreckage site. Nick Harper reports from New York.
Fire officials have confirmed that the three firefighters died within hours of each other on Monday. Howard Biscoff, Robert Lever, and Daniel Hegland were all on duty on September the 11th and helped in the clear-up of downtown Manhattan following the collapse of the Twin Towers. Although it's not clear if their cancer was directly linked to the attacks, thousands of people who helped in the rescue efforts have been diagnosed with illnesses, and hundreds have died as a result of the toxic gas thrown into the air. A $2.7 billion compensation fund is due to expire in 2 years unless the U.S. government votes to extend it.
Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas has blasted Israel's recent campaign in Gaza during a speech at the United Nations. Mr. Abbas described the war against Hamas as genocide. Steve Mort reports from the UN.
Speaking through a translator, Mahmoud Abbas lashed out at the recent Israeli offensive in Gaza.
In this year proclaimed by the United Nations General Assembly as the International Year of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, Israel has chosen to make it a year of a new war of genocide.
Calling for a UN Security Council resolution backing a return to pre-1967 borders, Mr. Abbas described Israeli settlers as racist and armed gangs. He said any plan for Israel to withdraw from occupied areas must include a firm timetable. The U.S. is expected to veto such a resolution tabled in the Security Council, instead favoring a plan to strengthen the current ceasefire in Gaza while seeking improvements in security and economic conditions there.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. U.S. President Barack Obama says combating the Ebola outbreak in West Africa is a top national security priority for the U.S. and says it needs to be a priority for the world. Mr. Obama was speaking from the first annual Global Health Security Agenda Summit in Washington. He outlined a three-pronged strategy to improve the world's reaction to health threats.
Prevent, detect, and respond. We have to prevent outbreaks by reducing risks. We need to detect threats immediately wherever they arise, and we need to respond rapidly and effectively when we see something happening so that we can save lives and avert even larger outbreaks.
In his remarks, the president thanked South Korea, which will host the conference next year, and Japan, which will donate 500,000 pieces of protective gear to health workers in West Africa. Barack Obama also challenged inventors around the world to design better health gear for workers, which the U.S. hopes to fund and distribute in West Africa within the next few months. Russia and Ukraine have reached a preliminary agreement over the supply of natural gas to Ukraine. A resolution to the dispute would prevent the potential disruption of gas flow during the critical winter months. Iris Spitzer reports from Berlin, where the talks were held.
Under the terms of the agreement, Ukraine would pay $3.1 billion by the end of the year for gas that has already been delivered, in exchange for Russia supplying gas in the coming months. The European Union brokered the deal, as Europe depends on the flow of Russian gas through Ukraine for about 15% of its demand. Russia's Gazprom, the world's largest producer of natural gas, raised the prices after the Russian-backed government in Ukraine was overthrown in February. They cut off supplies in June amidst increasing tension between the two sides, citing unpaid bills. The agreement still depends on the approval of both the Russian and Ukrainian governments. Iris Spitzer, Berlin.
And that's the latest from Feature Story News. Rebecca Foster reporting.